Good evening. Let's start by singing song hymn number 137. Now this song is Oh for a Thousand Things to Sing. 136. You are correct. Sorry about that. 136. We do praise you. Lord, a thousand tongues wouldn't do you justice. Lord, we could pack this house with as many people as we could fit in it, but it would not be enough glory that you deserve. You're so high above this, you're so high above us. But Lord, we praise you that although you are that high, that you meet with us here tonight, that you meet with each one of us here, that you love our praise for you. And Lord, we lift that praise to you tonight, Lord. We honor you, we glorify you. We pray that you would be the focus of tonight. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Let's flip over to hymn 169, What Wondrous Love Is This? I really love the last verse of that song. You know, through eternity, we're going to be able to sing this on. We're going to be able to keep singing praises to God throughout all eternity. And the song's never going to get dull. The song's never going to get tiring for us. Because we're singing to the great creator of all things. To our God, to our King. Let's continue singing to him. And hymn 250. And can it be? This is, 250, 250. Well, we're going to take some time and do some testimonies, but before, and I did want to give an update on one of our missionaries, Carlos and Yolanda Gomez in Spain. They say, the new year is still young, but we see the same old problems blooming in full force. Many Christians remember the disturbing news shared at the conference for the evangelization of Spain, that Spain is considered an unevangelized nation with only 1% reached. This shock caused a resolution to multiply their efforts and reach the lost. In February, the conference team will meet again to plan their next steps for 2020, as the churches learn how to better take the good news to the lost. The churches we are involved in are growing and being blessed with new souls, yet they are suffering with many problems. Not all are happy with efforts or methods used to reach out. Change is hard. So we can pray. Pray for us so that we can show his wisdom to all. Carlos continues to preach the word and challenge congregations to live for him and reach their families, neighbors, friends, co-workers, and enemies for the Lord. And they give a little bit of a family update. It says, Fernando, Esther's husband, has a new job. They continue in Paraguay. Marcos, their oldest son, has been brought to Spain in May of last year for medical care, and he continues to live here with his other grandmother and is attending special classes to help deal with life. Hadassah and Jonathan gave us a grandson in October 2019 named Ezra. And then he says, each family is in a different continent, yet near in heart with WhatsApp. Thank you for your prayers and for our family, and please continue to pray to uphold them. So that's kind of an update on where we're at with Carlos and Yolanda. And then I want to turn things over to you guys. Do we have any testimonies, things you want to thank God for tonight? Yeah, it's exciting.
I saw the first robin the other day. I don't know. Has anybody else seen robins?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They never left.
No, I haven't seen any before. So the other day I saw them, which was a little bit different than a few days ago. I came home and there were blackbirds flying everywhere. Reminded me of the birds.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Mike.
Our church is really blessed. I know there's some churches that when their pastor's away, things start to fall apart. But we didn't skip a beat, and I thank you for being the preacher you are.
I love preaching. I love talking about God and talking about him with you guys. My big praise is last week at Snow Camp. We had a great time. We were mostly safe. A couple little mishaps along the way, a couple sicknesses. But for the most part, we were pretty safe. But just to see the impact that it's having on the kids, on the youth, just such an important, critical time in their lives where they're making a lot of important decisions about how their future is going to look. And there were a couple kids who really just had, I'm hoping, breakthroughs, really, times where they realized that they need help. And that's the good news, and they get to seek help in God. So I'm really excited to hear just everything that happened at Snow Camp. We did have two people confess conversions, so two people got saved. We were excited about that, but more than that, just seeing the impact that it had on each individual teenager. So that's my big praise. What else? Yeah. Yes, it's great to have them. And Ethan is crazy. I do want to say that right now. He partook in the polar plunge, jumping into the water at negative 14 degrees. And I just think that's crazy. I'm sorry. He did it, and so did 150 other people. But what else? Anything else? All right, well, let's continue singing with hymn number 98. Yes, 98. I did get it correct this time. Come, thou fount of every blessing. I love the ending of that. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. And I think that that's a really good analogy for all of us. You know, we're prone to wander. We're prone to leave God. And we have to rely on God to keep us with him, right? Let's keep, I'm going to do a scripture reading, and it's in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, I'm going to start in verse 36. I'm going to read through the end of the chapter. This is what it says. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who was touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You do not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say amongst themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you that you're the one who forgives sins. We praise you that you're the one who makes us whole again. Lord, as we just sang, our hearts are prone to wander, our hearts are prone to leave you. And Lord, we need your grace on a daily basis. But Lord, we praise you that you give us that grace, that you don't hold it back from us, that you don't keep some for yourself, you pour it out onto us. And Lord, it's by that grace that we live today. And Lord, we do pray for some of the requests that we have on our prayer list. We pray for Arlene and her family at the homegoing of her husband, Butch. Lord, we praise you for the funeral on Friday. Lord, the good words that Pastor Brennan had to share. And Lord, now we just pray that you would be the God of comfort in that family, that you would comfort them. And Lord, we pray the same thing for the Cates family at the passing of Barbara Cates. We just pray that you would comfort the family, that you would be with them, even tonight. Lord, we pray for Larry Peterson as he's recovering from his surgery that he had. Lord, we praise you that he is doing better. Lord, we just pray that would continue, that he would continue to get stronger. We pray that you would just be with him and strengthen him, Lord, on a daily basis. Lord, I know he's got a lot of medical things, and Lord, we just pray that you would be there with him. And Lord, we do pray for just everyone that we have who's going through cancer right now. Lord, it seems like cancer is just everywhere. Lord, we pray for Cindy Bradway as she's going through treatments. Lord, we pray that you would be with her, that you would comfort her, that you would ease some of the side effects that she's going through right now. And Lord, we pray the same thing for Jeanette Harrington. Lord, as she's in the hospital right now, and her side effects are really starting to kick up. Lord, she's got fevers. She's not doing good physically, Lord. She's just going through a lot. And Lord, we pray that you would be the one to comfort her in that time. You'd help her family to gather around her. But Lord, we pray that you would be the one that she looks to during this time. And Lord, we pray for Joe Hogate, who's also battling cancer. Lord, we just pray that you would perform a miracle in his life, that you would heal him. Lord, we know that the doctors aren't too optimistic on his chances of recovery at this point in time. But Lord, you're the one who's in control of that. And we turn it over to you. Lord, we pray for Wade DeHart as he's having a skin cancer removed on March 10th. And Lord, we pray for Ed Tilmas, Nate's dad, as he has pancreatic cancer and he's having surgery on that. Lord, I just pray that you would give Nate a chance to get down to visit him before the surgery. Lord, help that to be a good time. And then, Lord, I just pray that the surgery would go well. And Lord, we do pray for Kelly McArdle, Lord, as she's recovering from back surgery. Lord, we praise you that the surgery went well. She is walking, but Lord, we know that she's still having trouble swallowing, and we pray that you would help that to improve, help her to be able to start swallowing again. We do pray for Cindy Sherman as she's dealing with this pain in her foot, Lord, and there's a lot of different things happening with her foot, and she's going through physical therapy. Lord, we just pray that you would ease the pain, you'd help it to heal properly. And Lord, we pray for Michelle Seitz, Linda's daughter, Lord, as she's awaiting results from the biopsy. Lord, she's supposed to get them on Tuesday. We pray that those would be favorable results, Lord, and we pray for her right now, Lord, as she's just kind of in the waiting period of waiting to hear what's happening, Lord. I know that that's not a fun position to be in. Lord, her mind's already assuming the worst. Lord, we pray that you would just comfort her in this time. And Lord, we pray for Chris Jardim's parents, Lord, his mom who broke his hip, and his father who's had pancreas surgery. Lord, we just pray for both of them to heal. Lord, we pray for that they would get stronger. And Lord, tonight we do want to pray for Pastor Sky and for Beth, Lord. We praise you that they got a chance to get away, Lord, that they got a chance to spend some time together, relaxing, escaping for a little bit. And Lord, we just pray that you'd give them a blessed time, that you'd help them to just have a good time. You'd help them to relax and come back reinvigorated, Lord. Lord, we do just pray that you'd be with us tonight, Lord. We pray that you would be the one to comfort us here tonight. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Just a couple of announcements. Once I find my bulletin. There it is. A couple of announcements. This week we have a pretty standard week, but we do not have the women's Bible study. So for those who are a part of that, we're not having that this week. But next week, right after Sunday school, we're having our soup and sandwich luncheon. It's a good time for fellowship, a good time to spend together. So if you have not signed up for that, here's your last chance to do it, because this is this is your last chance to do it. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. You can sign up for that. We'd love to have you. We do also have in the back, Teen Haven is looking for needs to restock some of their pantry, and there's a list back there of things that you can donate. So if you have anything, if you're interested in donating something, you have something stuck in your pantry that you've been trying to get rid of, this would be a great time to do that. This would be a great opportunity to do that and to help someone else out. We do have the Salem County Christian Academy is sponsoring a concert for Steve Green, March 28th. Details are in the back again. And we do have the women's retreat coming up at American Keswick. And that's March 13th through 15th. So those are all the announcements. So with that, I think we normally take our offering. Yes. We're going to take our offering. Mike, would you pray for our offering for us? Let's open our hymnals again to page 111, The Love of God. And if you'd like to stand during this song, if you're able to, we would invite you to stand. 111, The Love of God. seated. Let's open up in a word of prayer, then we'll begin the message. Lord, we praise you that we have the opportunity to gather before you this evening to open up your word, to hear from you. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open towards you, that we would have ears to hear and hearts to listen. And Lord, as we talk this evening, Lord, about a thankful sinner, we pray that we would have hearts of thank you, of thanks. We pray that we would have hearts that thank you and praise you. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Now, Dakota is at the age where she's starting to learn words. And that's a fun stage, you know. My favorite word that she says is naturally daddy. That's one of her favorite words. She points at me and she says daddy. And she points at my wife and says mom. That's how she says it, is mom. She knows words like nap when she's tired. She says nap. When she's done eating, she says all done. And then she refuses to eat a single bite after that, which sometimes she says that like early into a meal, and we're like, no, you're not all done. You're still eating. She knows words like duck. It's one of her favorite words to say is duck. And naturally, her favorite word, as most kids get, their favorite word right now is no. She loves to say the word no. And we often have to tell her she doesn't get to say that all the time. But you know, as kids start to say words, the responsibility falls on the parents, and Dan and I are now feeling the responsibility. We have to teach them certain specific words. Words like please. You know, we get her to say please before we give her something. But you know, the hardest words that we've come across so far is getting her to say the words thank you. You know, she'll say please for us because she knows that she's not getting what she wants until she says the word please. But then when we give it to her, she's got no motivation to say anything after that. She's got what she wants. So, you know, we try different things. We try to, like, half-hand something to her until she says thank you. But, you know, it's hard to teach the words thank you to her. And, you know, I often think that even as we get older, that problem still persists, that we have trouble with the words thank you. We have trouble expressing gratitude to someone. Well, today we're going to talk about a woman who had no issues saying thank you. She had no issues expressing gratitude. And we're going to talk about how we should be thankful. How we should be thankful to God for what He's done for us. So let's look together in this passage. We're in Luke chapter 7. And I'm going to start with just the first verse. In verse 36, it says, "Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table." So we get a pretty normal start to the story. We have a Pharisee, and he gets named later. His name is Simon. We have this Pharisee who invites Jesus over. Now, at this point in the Gospels, the Pharisees are kind of iffy about Jesus. They're not totally sure how to feel about him yet, but they haven't gotten totally antagonistic where they're trying to kill him. They haven't gotten that far yet, but they're still kind of in a we don't like some of the things he's saying stage, but they're kind of interested. They want to hear a little bit more. And I think that's kind of where this Pharisee was. That's where Simon was. He was at least interested enough that he wanted to hear Jesus out before he made any, like, judgments, which they'll get to when they want to try to kill him later. But he's still kind of in that, I'd like to see what's going on stage. So he invites Jesus over to his house. But what's interesting is that what he doesn't do is he doesn't extend the normal greeting that you would give when someone comes over to your house. Maybe he was scared that some of the other Pharisees might see him and might think that he was siding with Jesus. Maybe he was scared of what other people were going to think. But he didn't extend the normal greeting. The normal greeting was typically three things. That normally they would wash someone's feet when they first came into your house. Normally you'd give them a kiss on the cheek, and it was considered the kiss of peace, a kiss of just well-being for someone. And the other thing that you would normally do is you would pour oil onto their head. And those were kind of your normal greetings when you would greet someone at that point in time. And Simon doesn't do them. He just kind of invites Jesus over. So Jesus is there, and Jesus is reclining at the table. And then a very odd scene unfolds. And that starts in verse 37. It says, when a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. So we get this weird story of Jesus over at a Pharisee's house, and then this woman finds out about it. Now, what's interesting about this woman is we get, like, no information about her. We don't get a name. She does not say a single word over the course of the story. She's very silent. We get very little. We know that she lives in the town. And actually, the most defining factor about this woman is that she's a sinner. Like, that's our defining factor that we get in this verse, is she's a sinner in that town. Now, we don't know what her sin was. We don't know exactly what it was. There are other stories about a prostitute coming to Jesus, and that's a different story than this story. However, this woman could have been a prostitute. We don't know. We know that she was known in town for her sin. People saw her, and they knew that she was a sinner. So that has led some people to believe she may have been a prostitute of some sort, or she may have been somebody that was known for sinning. We don't know exactly what it is, but she was at least known for it. You know, I think of the book, Scarlet Letter, if you guys have ever had a chance to read that book. I read it in high school. But this woman carries around a letter, a red A, right on her chest, letting everyone in town know she's a sinner. So that when anyone sees her, they know exactly who she is up front. Now, this woman didn't actually have a scarlet letter on her shirt, but she may as well have. People saw her and they knew who she was. She was a sinner in the town. So what does this sinner do when she finds out that Jesus is in town? She takes an alabaster jar of perfume. She goes to the Pharisee's house. She goes to Simon's house and says that she stands behind him. She doesn't even come before him. She stands behind him at his feet. Now, back then, when you used to recline at dinner, you'd actually recline with your feet out behind you. You'd kind of almost be in a laying position. It's not like chairs as we know them today. So when you reclined, your feet were actually kind of going out behind you. So she stood behind Jesus, where she'd have access to his feet. And then it says she cried. And not just like a small cry, not just like a couple sobs here and there, but it says she was crying enough to produce tears, like a lot of tears. She was crying at his feet. And it got so bad that she was actually able to wash his feet with her tears. Now, picture that for a second. Picture how much tears you have to produce to be able to start washing someone's feet with your tears. And then it says she wiped them with her hair. Now, I contacted L'Oreal this past week, and they did tell me that they're not coming out with a new hair product that is people's feet. That's not the new hair product that they're coming out with. The fact of the matter is, wiping someone's feet with your hair is going to make your feet filthy, going to make your feet dirty, or not your feet, your hair. Filthy, going to make your hair dirty. You're probably going to need to go get a bath afterwards, get a shower afterwards. But she chose to do it anyway. And then it says she poured out her perfume onto his feet, and she kissed his feet. Later in the passage, it'll say she kept kissing his feet. It says she didn't stop kissing his feet. Now, if you're sitting there in the room with this unfolding, if you're like me, you would think, this is kind of awkward. You know, this is kind of an embarrassing situation. Like, I don't know if I'd want to be in this room. I would feel embarrassed for this woman. Like, why is she crying at his feet? What's happening here? I think the scene may have even been even more embarrassing if she did happen to be a prostitute, because then there's a lot of questions like, why is that, what's exactly happening here? It's a very confusing scene. And the Pharisee takes notice. Simon takes notice of the scene. So what does Simon have to say about the scene? That's in the next verse. In verse 39, it says, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is talking. And what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Now, What I actually find really interesting about Simon's response to this whole thing is Simon's response is not to judge the woman. Simon's response is that he really doesn't care about the woman. He's already judged her. He already knows she's a sinner. Simon's response is to judge Jesus. He says, if this guy were really a prophet, if he was really someone from God, that he would know who this woman is and he would not be tolerating this. So Simon actually goes ahead and judges Jesus for what's happening. Jesus didn't really do anything. He's just letting the woman be. The woman's the one crying at his feet. And Simon chooses, he's going to judge Jesus about this. He's going to say, this guy can't be a man of God. If he was, he would know what this woman is. He would know who this woman is. And he would not be tolerating her. So then Jesus gets a chance to speak. And whenever Jesus speaks in the story, we know it's often going to be a nice twist for us. So how does Jesus view the whole situation? I'm going to read verses 40 through 43. And this is what it says. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, one owed him 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled both their debts. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. So Jesus sets up this little parable. He sets up this story. He says, you know, there's a moneylender, and two different people owe him money. One owes him 500 denarii, one owes him 50 denarii. Now, I'm not going to get too far into what denarii are. That's not too important to the story. What is that one owed 10 times the amount as the other person. One owed 10 times the amount as the other person. And Jesus says, you know, this moneylender, the people couldn't pay, so he forgave both the debts. And then Jesus asks the question. Now, what we would normally expect this question to be would be, who did the moneylender love more? But that's not the question Jesus asks. Jesus asked which one of those people loved the moneylender more. Jesus says which one of those people loved him more. The moneylender canceled both the debts, so which of the two people loved the moneylender more? And Simon's response was, I guess the person who he forgave the bigger debt to. And Jesus says, you're right. So then Jesus gets to his point of telling the parable. Why did he tell that parable? And that's in verse 44. This is what it says. He turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. And the other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So Jesus gets to the heart of his story. He says, you know, I told you the story about a moneylender, but here's the point. Jesus puts Simon and this woman side by side. And he says, which one of you two has shown more love for me? And he starts comparing them. He says, you didn't give me a kiss. This woman has not stopped kissing me. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. You did not wash my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. And his conclusion is this, that this woman has been forgiven and that it's shown by her love for him. And then he says to Simon, he who has been forgiven little loves little. I mean, that last statement is directly said towards Simon. Simon didn't show much love for Jesus. And the assumption there is that he wasn't forgiven much by Jesus. He says, he who's been forgiven little loves little. Here's the point of the story. our love for God and our thankfulness to God is in response to what He did for us. It's in response of Him forgiving our sins. It's in response of His love towards us that sent Jesus to the cross to die for us. That's the point of Jesus' story. Jesus' story is focusing on how people loved Him. Now, we all know, and we just sang about it in the song, The Love of God. We all know that God loves us. But the question that Jesus is looking at here is, who loves Him? Who is thankful to Him? And in Jesus' mind, between Simon and this woman, the woman is the one who is thankful. So I have two points that I want to make before we close out today. The first point is simple, and this is for us today. We have been forgiven of our sins. And not just a couple of them, not just, you know, the five sins that we've done in our lives, because none of us have done just five sins in our lives. We've been forgiven our many sins. Here's the odd truth to this story, is that although this woman was known as a sinner, Simon was also a sinner. Simon was also someone who needed his sins forgiven. He wasn't any better than this woman. But you see, Jesus, when He talked about this woman, He actually wanted to maximize her sins. He wanted to draw attention to her sins. He actually says in this section, He says that her sins are many. You know, Jesus isn't just saying her couple sins. He's drawing attention to the fact that this woman is a sinner. And what Simon doesn't realize is he's on the same boat. You know, Simon is with the Pharisees who said, I'm not that much of a sinner. I'm not that bad. I think of the story of the Pharisee who stands before God and prays, Lord, I thank you that I am not a sinner like that person over there. And he looks over at someone who was beating their chest and praying to God. And he says, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not a sinner like that guy. And the reality is, he is. A reality is, we need to recognize our sin. The reality is we need to recognize that we are sinners. Just like this woman. Just like Simon. Because that's where the gospel starts, doesn't it? If we're going to accept that Jesus Christ paid for our sins, the first thing we need to do is accept that we are sinners. And we shouldn't try to minimize our sins, because when we minimize our sins, we minimize the impact of the gospel. We minimize the impact of God's forgiveness. But when we talk about our sins in all honesty, when we're honest about our sins, that's when we really get to see how powerful God is to forgive us our sins. You know, a lot of people are like Simon, and I admit that sometimes I want to be like Simon, where what we do is we say, you know, God's standard of righteousness, it's about right here. And me, I come in a solid, like, right here. You know, I'm not quite at God's righteousness. I need a little bit of help, but I'm pretty darn close, right? Well, what's ironic about that is that the Bible says that the gap between God's righteousness and us, that's where grace is. That's where God's grace and His love and His forgiveness is. And if we put that right there, that means that's how big God's grace is. That's how big God's grace is in our lives. Where instead, if we look at things differently, if we say God's standard of righteousness is up here and we're all the way down at the floor, the gap between that is God's grace. The gap between that is God's love for us, God's forgiveness of our sins. And if we view it that way, grace is much bigger. Grace is much more powerful. That's the grace that I want. I want a powerful grace. I don't want a little tiny grace. I want a big grace. Now, I should specify that what I'm telling you guys up front is I'm not saying go out and keep sinning. That's not my point of this story. I'm not saying go out and sin more so that God's grace is more. My point is we are all sinners. And we all sin. And that's where God's grace is. And here's the thing. this is kind of the chain of events that I want you guys to see. Is if we stop and think about how much of sinners we are, then we can think about how great God's grace is for us. We can think about how great God's forgiveness is for us. And when we think about how great God's forgiveness is for us, God's grace is for us, then we respond with thankfulness. We respond like this woman did. This woman was very aware of her sin. People reminded her of this on a regular basis. She was very, very aware of her sin. But that made her only even more aware of how great Jesus was for forgiving that sin. And that caused her to do this, quite simply, an embarrassing thing. As a response, as a way of saying thank you to Jesus. So my first point was that we have been forgiven our many sins. And my second point is simple. God's forgiveness inspires our thankfulness. You know, the reason that we get to be thankful before God today, the reason that we get to praise Him, the reason we get to worship Him today is because of His forgiveness for us. It's grounded in that forgiveness. This woman, everything she did resulted in that forgiveness. It is that forgiveness. Jesus says she's been forgiven. And that's shown by the way she acts. And the way she acts, there are four different things that she does. The first thing is she worships Jesus. Now, what I mean by the word worship is glorifying, praising, pointing the attention to, putting the focus on Jesus. In this story, the woman goes out of her way to make Jesus look good. She wanted Jesus' feet to smell good. That's what she wanted. She wanted Jesus to be the one that got the glory. She wanted Jesus to be the one that got the praise. She was all about worshiping God. So the question is that how our thankfulness looks? Does our thankfulness to God, does God's forgiveness of our sins, does that inspire worship out of us? Are we here to worship God? The second thing, which is kind of the opposite side of worship. The first thing that the woman did was she worshiped Jesus. Second thing that she did was she humbled herself. The first one means making Jesus big. The second one means making herself small. Now, what she did in this story is embarrassing. You could very easily say any self-respecting person wouldn't do this, and you'd probably be right. But the fact of the matter is this woman was not caring about how she looked. She was not caring about herself. She was not caring about the way this made her appear to other people. She was humble. She wanted to make herself less. And that went with the worship of wanting to make Jesus more. So the question is, are we being humble? You know, this morning in our sermon, we talked about the fact that we are justified by Jesus Christ and by our faith. And I talked about the fact that one of the applications of that is that we cannot boast. We can't boast about ourselves. And this is actually the exact opposite. Instead of boasting about ourselves, we should be humbling ourselves. We should be making ourselves smaller. We should be making ourselves less so that we can make Jesus more. That's what this woman did here. So those are the first two things. She worshipped. She was humble. And the third one is that she sacrificed. She brought what it says an alabaster jar of perfume. Now, we don't know how much this perfume cost. In another similar story, we do get a picture of how much some perfume cost, but that's a different story than this one. So this story, we don't get an exact image of how much this costs, but we do know that it was expensive. We know that it would have cost the woman something. She would have had to sacrifice in order to do that. And at the end of the day, she sacrificed to make someone's feet smell good. Like, out of all the things she could have sacrificed for, she chose to make someone's feet smell good. But the reason she did it is because those feet were the feet of Jesus. And she wanted to sacrifice for Him. She sacrificed enough that it hurt her financially. But that was her way of saying thank you to Jesus. So again, the question that we have to deal with is that how we're being thankful? Are we willing to sacrifice for Jesus? And I don't mean just giving out of our wealth, giving a little bit, but still staying comfortable. I'm talking about giving enough that it hurts us, of our time, of our resources, of our money. Are we willing to give enough that we are sacrificing for Jesus? And then the last way that this woman responded, was she had worship, she had humility, she had sacrifice, and the last one is love. And this is the one that Jesus pulls the attention to. In his parable, he asks which of these people love the moneylender more. In verse 47, he says, "Therefore, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much." This is what Jesus pulls the attention to, is this woman's love for him. And that's what it all comes down to. The Bible says we love because he first loved us. Our love for God is a response. It's a way of saying thank you. It's a way of saying thank you for what you've done for us. So is that our response? Is that our response to God? Is that our response for his forgiving our sins? And we have many sins and we've been forgiven. And what is our response? Is our response that of love? I pray that it is. I pray that we do respond with love to Jesus Christ. So as we close today, I have to ask the question, what about us? You know, we all have testimonies. I'm sure at some point in time, hopefully you've all had the opportunity to give your testimony. And all of our testimonies come down to a few basic principles. We were sinners before Jesus Christ. Then we replaced our faith in Jesus Christ, forgave our sins. And then after that, we were transformed, we were changed for God. So the question is, when we're in that last stage, when we're in the stage that many of you guys are in now, are we thankful for what Jesus did? Are we thankful that he took us from being sinners for the forgiveness of our sins to where we are now? I titled this sermon, if you guys saw this morning, I titled the sermon, A Thankful Sinner. And the reality is, each one of us is a sinner. Each one of us is just like this woman. But we have a God who forgives our sins. So are we thankful like this woman is? Are we thankful to God? Let's close in prayer. Lord, we do praise you for what you've done for us. Lord, we confess that we are sinners, that our sins are many, just like this woman. Lord, as many as our sins are, even greater, even more, is your grace, is your love for us. It overcomes our sins. It forgives us of our sins. And Lord, we just want to say thank you to that. We want to praise you for that. We want to love you for that. And I pray that's what we would do, that we'd be thankful. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. If you guys want to turn in your hymnal to song 279, There Is a Redeemer. And I picked this song because I love the chorus. It's just a chance to say thank you to God. So why don't you stand up if you'd like to. Thank you. this would normally be the time that I would give the benediction. But we're going to do things a little bit different tonight. I'd like to close out with one more song. And it's a very short song. It's song 582. And the song is called Thank You, Lord. And I'd like to close out with this song. And I'd like us to close out as a prayer to Jesus Christ. So we're going to do this in place of the benediction. We're going to close out with just a song of thanksgiving to God. Dismissed.